Have you ever gotten a massage more than just to relax? Today, we meet Mark from Medical Massage Associates, and he explains why massages have a lot of medical benefits. Can't wait to see you in there.
Welcome to the Dayton Approved Podcast with Frank O'Neill. This is where the local Dayton businesses get a spotlight.
Welcome to Dayton Approved, where we're exploring Dayton small businesses and nonprofits. Today we're here with Mark Strickler. He has his own business. It's called Medical Massage Associates. Mark, say hi to everyone.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you today?
I'm doing wonderfully. How about you, Frank?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great. I did hear that you had a great time being a new friend, the FedEx guy.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. It's always good to start with making a new friend.
Hanging out in the parking lot.
That's right. So, yeah, I was running a little bit behind today, but 5 minutes and side story. Welcome to Dayton Approved. I like to have a little fun here. So let's start off with talking about some basics here. We always like to start off with like who you are, about your mission. And basically what we've talked about before is your number one goal is to have an excellent patient outcome. So tell us about how you achieve this goal.
Certainly. Combination of factors. It really comes down to massages. A lot of times the answer to any soft tissue problem, but it's not the only piece of the puzzle. Our body isn't just the muscles. It might be structural. So it might be that the patient needs some help with a chiropractic adjustment, or it might be that there's a nutritional problem going on. Any of those kind of factors that go in parallel lanes. So a lot of our stuff really comes down to the staff recognizing that we're making progress here, but they would get more if we also referred them to one of the partners that we use.
Absolutely. There's a combination of make sure you figure out what the patient exactly needs. If you can handle it, awesome. You're going to take care of it. Enough.
Absolutely.
If not, you've got a whole slew of people. You're going to be able to get them recommended.
One plus one ends up equaling three. So it's a great way to be able to make sure that excellent outcome is what we're after.
Absolutely. Now, you were saying that you like to know about, or you really kind of follow what Dr. Covey's.
That's where the whole concept for that mission statement came from. Great guy for his begin with the end in mind kind of mindset. And he talked about his family's one was no empty chairs, the idea that they should all be together for their family dinners. Okay. And so the fewer the words, get it down to that micro statement, and that's where the excellent patient outcome came from. Was we wanted the best results for our patients and trying to turn it into something where we could say, here, excellent patient outcome. And I think that really ties in beautifully with what we're trying to do with our staff and helping the patients out.
All right. Yeah, no, I mean, it makes completely sense. Or makes complete sense, I should say. So, absolutely. So, yeah, that kind of brings us to your story. You know, we all got stories. How did you get in the business? How did you start it? Who was Mark? And why is Mark where he is today? So,
sure.
Yeah, let's talk about where you started. I guess you started as a engineer, UD,
absolutely.
Dayton native. Mm-hmm. Great, perfect for Dayton Approved.
Right? Absolutely.
Okay, all Dayton, all things Dayton. So, tell us a little bit about, you know, how you... From there, let's...
Sure. The backstory really goes clear back to when I was a teenager. My uncle was family practice doc, and we got discussing medicine, and he was sharing all the pros and cons, and one of the things that he brought up later in our conversations was how one of the patients 2 years younger than I was, a youth group at church, had been diagnosed with bone marrow cancer, so they had to amputate her right leg. And he said for 6 months he didn't feel like eating. You know, he didn't sleep well because he kept running her case in his head over and over and over. And that was the one that made me go, oh, maybe I don't want to be there because there are obviously some consequences that could come from missing something.
Oh, yeah.
So I took the love of science, applied it to engineering instead. But what I came to realize is that I wasn't a typical engineer. While I enjoyed the problem solving and enjoyed the process, it really wasn't... I wasn't one of the stereotypical sit in the cubicle and sit with my calculator and draw things up.
Well, you got that ADD, baby.
Exactly. So when the company I was working for was being sold, little mom and pop, $4 or $5 million a year in sales, and they, it was a motor manufacturer, and they were being sold to a $900 million a year conglomerate. I never really wanted to work with large companies. Right. Didn't like the idea of being a cog in the wheel. I liked being more of involved. So I started considering what else would I like to do, find another little small mom and pop to go work for, or gee, turn it around and look at other things. I'd been divorced a couple of years at that point. So I said, gee, it's only me to support. Let's look at that medicine thing. Well, we've been looking at med school, and do I have even the stamina at that age to go right. back to med school? I thought, maybe not. If they would let me in, if, you know, so I looked at other, you know, opportunities within the medical field and looked at nursing and thought, you know, that's a possibility.
Right.
And then stumbled on massage. Gee, that only required a year to get through the training. Had enough savings. I could do that for a year, take it on full time and jump right in. And then figured if I really enjoyed that medical stuff, all the information that came from the anatomy and physiology would still transfer over to nursing and I could continue. But what I figured out was the stuff that I loved about engineering, the problem solving.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the talking with people that really isn't the normal engineer, the pain might be in the left shoulder, but the cause might be on the right side. And, the, you know, recognizing that the things I learned in engineering, the dynamic loads, the static loads, the, you know, the mechanical levers.
Right. Now, do you think that engineer part where you kind of like was able to like really kind of get down, you know, engineering's pretty black and white.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed medical can be kind of not black and white.
That's why they call it practicing right. medicine, because you're still always learning.
So do you think that engineering aspect made you feel comfortable to then talk to people? Because you said originally, one of the things that kind of lead you or led you away from medical is like, I don't want to get this.
Sure.
Practice or, you know, this diagnosis.
There's the possibility of, truly causing a problem.
Yeah.
So massage being less invasive, there's no diagnosing, there's no prescribing, there's no surgery, none of those kinds of things. I still get to do the interaction with the people. They get onto the table. An hour later, they get off and go, oh, look, we fixed that range of motion, that pain.
Right.
Much more rewarding, and yet we don't have the potential.
Yeah.
Oh, look, bone marrow cancer. And I didn't diagnose it. I didn't catch it in time.
So do you think massage is more preventative, or is it more like maintenance, like after?
A lot of people come to us for the reactive. They woke up with, they fell down, they did whatever. So we deal with pain and range of motion problems primarily. But there are those people then that recognize what it has done for them and turn into the proactive side of things. So I have a landscape guy that just originally was sciatic pain. His neighbor was getting treatments for a hip replacement. So he was complaining. He was one of those good neighbor kind of things, looking out for the old lady in the neighborhood. And she kept saying, just come over here while Mark's here. And she harassed him enough, he finally came over. Good guy, former Marine. I guess they never say former with them.
Right.
But, you know, his idea of massage was the, you know, rub lotion kind of thing. And so when he came with the sciatic pain, got him on the table. So it's right about here, right? Knowing where the nerves travel and where the most likely cases for where sciatic pain starts from. He jumps off the table, yelping in pain, goes, yeah, that's the spot. Okay, good. 15 minutes later, he gets off the table and his eyes are just kind of, I'm moving. It doesn't hurt.
Yeah.
He has since become I see him every week because he's a landscape guy. Oh, look, I stepped in a hole and I twisted my knee. Oh, look, I was, trimming bushes over, trees overhead and my shoulders are killing me. So I work on whatever he did to destroy himself. But even on the weeks that he doesn't, he goes, no, I still want you here. You're my proactive, in this case, approach to keep me healthy during the week. So,
yeah, no, that makes sense.
Converted from fix me to keep me going.
Yeah.
So.
Wow. That's now, do you have like, is that, would you say that's the majority of your clientele, or is your clientele more of like the one and done?
A lot of them are one and done. But those are the ones who then coming back and going, you know what? I need to maintain. So we have a lot of repeats.
Yeah.
But they most always started as the reactive.
Right.
Something was wrong.
Something happened in their life. We got to
complete. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's, it kind of makes sense. You know, people don't really think necessarily about massage and how it can be preventative. A lot of
And
different
it
things.
can even, from just getting out of pain to the, we had one several years ago, DEA agent. I never had thought of it in these terms before. She called up, anyway, I can get in today. That's what I tell people, we're not like the spa in the sense of planning ahead. It's more like the ER. Again, the acute injury that I woke up with ever. But she brought it up because she had a crick in her neck. So she found she could not turn her head,
Oh, I
and she
hate
goes,
that.
if I call get called out on a, I'm not protecting myself or my partner because I can't swivel my head to go check for the bad guys. And it's
Yeah.
kind of like, oh, this is, in her case, slightly reactive, but it was very much on the proactive side that
Yeah.
if she's out in a situation where there's somebody shooting at you, need to be able to swivel your head and see where
Yeah.
they are.
Yeah,
So
it's not necessarily if you can't function, even the basic function of moving your neck. Yeah, I mean, you're not doing a duty to yourself and
right.
self safety or others, so.
Which is why the staff is all people that enjoy the medical side, because we like the challenges of somebody coming in and going. And sometimes it's a case of scoliosis. We're not going to fix it, but we're helping the muscles that are working in ways they're not designed for because of that curve in the spine. I have an MS patient I see every 2 weeks. We're not fixing the MS, but I'm addressing the symptom of the cramping. He ends up for a couple of days getting a full night's sleep. Without having to take, he's allowed to take triple the dose of his muscle relaxer. And so, without having to do that, he can actually sleep through the night. He goes, if I could afford you, I'd do it every day. And then I wouldn't have to be messing with the, that muscle relaxer to get a good night's sleep. So,
And you know, that's something that's really important that a lot of people don't realize. I
yeah.
was just reading about sleep as what I do. And you know, it's always been told there's three pillars. It's fitness and health, nutrition, sleep. That's the three pillars of what keep you
Absolutely.
going. Well, what they recently discovered is that sleep really isn't the third pillar. It's more of the bottom foundation of the other two sit on or rely on.
Sure.
It all starts with sleep. Sleep prevents from, you know, all sorts of medical disease. It's the number one proactive thing to do. So when you think about
We talk a lot about getting a proper pillow, getting a, good, position. Ideally, it's on your back, but for those people who are stomach sleepers or side sleepers, how to sleep with the least impact on the body. And it's during that sleep cycle, there's about a 90-minute cycle. During the deep sleep cycle is when HGH, so the human growth hormone, gets released. As kids, that's where we're growing. As adults, that's the healing portion of, I'm not a medical professional. However, I study the parallel lanes because
Understand.
I need to be able to, what we were talking about earlier, the whole excellent outcome sometimes says get a better pillow. Get, just because then they'll get a better night's sleep, and all of these things will add up to a better
Yeah, I
result.
just think it's extremely interesting how it's like you're saying on the last patient, just giving them a massage so we get to that point to be able to have one good night's sleep a week. Like, it's crazy how we just take advantage of, well, I can sleep every day. I don't think about it. You know, meanwhile, we got
Absolutely.
this one guy's got to do a lot of prep work to get to that point because that's a vital part of being able to stand,
Sure.
being able to sleep. It's really kind of cool to kind of see that aspect or that angle or is in a little bit of perspective. It's
Absolutely.
always humbling. And speaking about being humbled and whatnot, let's talk about the Humane Society. You are involved with the Humane Society of Dayton, and tell everyone how you help them out.
Got started 10, 12 years ago. I don't remember exactly. Met this lady from the Humane Society. She was the director of development at the time, so the fundraising arm of. And she came up after this meeting and points at her shoulder and says, "Help me." So I spent 5 minutes working on her shoulder. Afterwards, long story short, she said, "Hey," this was going back to the days when the Humane Society still was doing the kill shelter. They don't do that any longer, but at the time, they would spend all this time socializing the animals, getting them healthy again. And if they didn't get them adopted, then they had to put them down. And she said, it just stresses out the staff because they've spent all this love and, kindness in
Yeah, I
helping
mean,
get the
you
animal
just think you
going.
spend all this time, this energy, you're prepping, getting the dog ready to go, and then, well, couldn't find the right home, so bye-bye. It's like, what is going on?
So they're no longer there, but we still do the work with the gal that started me there is no longer with the Humane Society, but yeah, I'm still around. Anyhow, love their mission, love the whole, you know, concept of what they do for helping to not only improve the animals' lives, but they help educate. They do some marvelous stuff. The new addition they did with their whole vet center and now being able to treat animals beyond just, they had a vet on staff that did basically just neutering and spaying so that they got the strays. There's their whole capturing the feral cats and bringing them in and so that we keep the population in check because they neuter and spay them and then re-release them.
Right.
Still a wild animal, but no longer creating litters of additional wild ones. So,
no, that makes sense.
Great, great people to work with.
That's cool. Great. Yeah. So I just, that's interesting. So basically you help them with the massage.
Yeah. We take care of just massage on the staff just to help keep them healthier. Yeah. Same things. You know, one, I was in there 2 weeks ago, I think it was whatever day. And yeah, recently. And one of the gals' back was hurting because, you know, you're bending over to clean those litter boxes. You're bending over to, you know, and just helped her so that she was able to do her job the rest of the day on a nicer basis. Then we plug in with them as well. Their 5K is coming up in May. I think it's the 18th. And our staff will be out there doing massages for all the participants, the people who've run that 5K, and the spectators. And we have a tip jar up, and all the tips get donated, you know. Just another way for us to support the the Humane Society and their work.
What about like golf? Do they have some sort of golf?
The other one that we are involved with is their Four Paws golf outing, which is late in the fall. If I remember correctly, it's at NCR this year. They outgrew what they could do at Yankee Trace, so more people wanted to play, and we'll be there. Same idea, just offering massages to the participants. Helping out, collecting tips, and donating them right back then to the Humane Society. So it's a chance for us to, another way to give back to the Humane Society.
Yeah. That's just great. It's always fascinating to hear how little pieces of the story of how the Humane Society, it's with help here.
It was easy. I enjoyed it, but every one of the staff, for some reason, I'm not sure exactly why, all seem to be animal lovers. So when we get dates for, hey, it's coming up on, and they're jumping to, sign up and be participating in. So makes it simple for us.
Yeah, it makes it so that you got a staff that
wants to be out there. Yeah.
I've always found that kind of interesting. It's like, well, I got a great idea, guys. We're going to go do this. And it's like, one person's like, yeah. And everyone's like, I thought it was all about giving back, but it's more than that. You gotta figure out
what
the culture within really enjoys and what they like doing.
Our office manager is probably the easiest one. She's a true animal lover. Has dogs, cats, horses. So, already comes with the menagerie. So when she's there, she's not working on anybody actually getting massaged. But while that person's on the table and we're working on them, she's holding the dog, i.e. scratching, rubbing bellies. Ooh, do I have to? Yeah.
Yeah.
She's always like, I get to spend the whole day petting.
that's a tough perk of the job.
Yeah.
Well, one of the main things, or one of the things that makes your massage company different compared to others is the medical side.
Sure.
So talk more about how is the medical side much different than just regular massage?
Absolutely.
Explain to everyone what that is.
So relatively speaking, whether you went to the spa and got a relaxation massage or came for us, we do some relaxation, but most of it is medical. And it's the same tools in the toolbox. It's just how we apply them. So we're going after something in specific that they've come in with. The neck's not, got a crick in it, the low back pain, the whatever happens to be the actual symptom they're coming in to have us address. We're specifically setting up. So every massage ends up being unique to that particular patient because it's whatever it is that they needed.
So there's no one size fits all.
Exactly.
Massage,
so,
like how you go to a massage place or at a resort.
Right.
Say, there's, this, well,
they're going to do that same pattern and rub that same lotion over and over. You know, it might be a variation because they said, "Ooh, we're doing a hot stone, or we're doing a seaweed wrap, or whatever." But
you know, I'm going to add something.
But it's that same pattern over and over. But for us, that's it's a patient intake. We actually go through asking questions: "What's going on today? What are we going to be addressing?" Last week, I had a nurse who does home visits and had started some. She was told it was probably just her hamstring was tight. Well, it was actually sciatic, because it's not always pain. Sometimes the nerve that's getting impinged that's causing a problem, it's the pain nerve if it's sciatic pain. But if it's the motor activation nerve, the one that says contract, that was what was going on. That was, so it was sciatic, but it just wasn't pain. It was her hamstring was being told to contract, and she was having problems just walking around in the car, out of the car, working with these patients on her home visits. So recognizing, and there's the differences. She's telling me what's going on. Even though she's a nurse, she's going, no, it's not that. What do you mean? And of course, then once we finish, she goes, oh, I can walk around again. Well, it's recognizing what's the symptom. And that was that whole, the engineering was problem solving. Oh, look, it overlaps so nicely because now I get to solve a problem. And it's finding out and figuring out. So in our world, we're not allowed to legally diagnose, but I have to assess. Right. And in essence, it's, you know, I'm not going to say, hey, you have, or that gets me in trouble with the state medical board.
Exactly. Now, speaking of the medical board, you do still have to adhere to the medical board.
Correct.
And yeah, talk about that, because not every therapist or massage therapist.
Correct. So you could go out this afternoon, Frank, and say, I'm a massage therapist, and start giving massages, as long as you don't claim to do anything medical. And the difference really is going to school, passing a medical board, and because it's in the state of Ohio, it's one of, I think, just two states in the U.S. that it's actually a medical license.
So I got the perfect name.
Non-medical massage.
There you go. And, you know, and there's nothing wrong with it. You know, any massage is going to improve circulation, which will improve the immune system functioning, which is a plus then for your health.
Right.
But by having done the actual schooling, then we know even the times when you shouldn't give a massage, because it's the contraindication sometimes that really are the important piece. But we report to the medical board, so you had to go through a background check. When I got started was when they first switched. We did the estate attorney general always. There was 15, 20 pages of where'd you go to school and making sure that you were who you were. But then the flip side was, or the addition really was, that we did fingerprints. So now for the last 15 years, every massage therapist who went through fingerprinting. So the FBI is doing a nationwide to make sure we don't have any felons in the field, which is a plus.
Of course. Yeah. I mean, you just, you know, you want to make sure someone's touching you, or you're going in this vulnerable state where, like, basically get naked in this room and you got this other person touching you. You want to make sure that, you know, that's
legitimately.
You know, might have a camera in the corner and be like, we're making some money on OnlyFans. I don't know. Like, you know, it's got some.
No. That's another world altogether. We don't do.
Yeah. Of course, so you're 100% professional.
Yes.
And also you get, you know, as you are the medical side, you get actual referrals from
medical professionals. Absolutely. So yeah, over the years, because we refer to other people, we've gotten the flip side of that happening. So I have a couple different surgeons who refer post-surgery, pre-surgery. I have a couple different physical therapists who they're working with the retraining after a surgery perhaps. And they go, oh, look, we need the massage so that it's helping the tissue itself heal. So we end up working, again, back and forth and sending people to one another. It's a really 15 years of having the exposure. We've got a nice reputation with them.
Which brings us right into the recent successes and milestones. So, yes, 15th year. Tell everyone why that is extremely important.
So according to the National Massage Therapy Group that I belong to, researched several years ago, the average of therapists lasts in the industry about 2 years. So the fact that I've been doing this 15 puts me way beyond the average. Our staff, I am, and just in that world, the staff that I've managed to find, because I've been picky always about who I hired. Milestone, we just added a new one last week. Yay!
Yeah, congratulations.
But the average is over 8 years with all of us. So it's really nice that we have people with the experience, with the passion for that medical side. And that's why I've specifically gone out and looked for, in particular, people who are better at it than I am. So I'm looking for skills that I don't have. So within the world of massage, there's probably 50 different modalities. They overlap. One of them gets called active release technique. One of them gets, but they overlap. But the idea is that we have therapists who've done the training for doing cupping. We have therapists who've done the training for doing Reiki. We have therapists, they go, oh, look, I don't do those, but they do. So within the practice, even if I'm not getting the progress that I want with the patient, I'm going to get that excellent outcome. I can say, you know what, let's try a session with Kevin, with Tara, with Luna, with Candace, so that they can go and find another or TAPS better result with one of the other ones. And that's it's always been a portion of what I looked for when I was hiring, was to find people who are better than I am.
Yeah, and that's a great attitude. Be good at what you're good at, and then always find someone better at what they're good at, and you guys learn. That's
absolutely.
That's a phenomenal philosophy. Now, also, when it comes to someone becoming a medical massage therapist, now I know you're looking for another guy
or gal.
Take more if you could, but another one is what you're looking for at minimum. Now it's not easy because it takes some time.
Sure.
It's not like you're saying, Frank, you can go ahead and start your non-medical massage session. But realistically, it's going to take some schooling.
Sure.
And it's probably about a, I believe you said
it's a 1 year if you do it full time, because it's 900 hours classroom time. The state requires 600. The local school that I'm on the advisory board for bumped it up to 900. Bless them for doing so, because the students are better trained. And, that just means better results for anybody that they're going to work on after they graduate. But it requires that. And then there's continuing education, like most professions. You do it because you want to get better, or you do it because you're required. But the people who do the continuing education, the gal that I just hired, while she's a newer graduate, has already done some continuing education classes. And to me, that's another check mark for, I want her on this staff.
Yeah,
because she's got the right mindset. There's never an end to learning.
Yeah. Yeah. And you can't, it's like that it factor. You can't really teach it.
Yeah.
When you see someone that has it, how am I going to get this person to work with me?
It's a couch, but you learn about, what are the different fabric protection stuff, what are the different, and so there's always going to be a learning, this manufacturer just came up with a new spring design, whatever.
Absolutely, as a professional, it's our job to know these things, and even though our customer, clientele, they don't necessarily ever want to know, it's still our duty to do that.
Sure.
There's certain types of rules on ours. I was telling some lady yesterday, they call this rule Charles Little. And I said, I'm just letting you know, lady. And just like, I'm trying to start a fight here, But I mean, it's
sure.
Our duty to know those type of weird or goofy things, like call it.
Absolutely.
Industry jargon.
Right.
Call it.
So. No matter what world you're operating in, it still requires. And the more you know the details behind, again, the better result for the person you're working with.
Absolutely. And that's what it really comes down to. It's like, you want that result for that. It really always comes down to problem solving. I tell everyone that work with. It's we're problem solving. Here, is there a need to something? Your job is to solve the problem. Now, obviously, we want to solve it with the solution for us. But if it's something we can't, solve, then let's go ahead and send them down the road and get them to the right place. Mm-hmm. Because they may not be our customer today. But the fact that we helped them out means they could be our customer.
Sure.
And that's the long-term thinking that.
I'll segue for you that one of the things that I'm involved with in terms of getting better as a businessman is a group called Business Network International.
Yeah.
But the story where I best used them dovetails beautifully to what you were talking about. I had a patient that came in, we discussed, here's a set of treatments. We'd be on our first session, and then she calls me and says, I'm going to have to, you know, postpone this. I really don't want to, but found out that my brother-in-law's been diagnosed with cancer. I'm going to go out to Colorado and help out, you know, with the wife and the kids while she's helping him at the hospital, you know, and doing through all the surgery and oncology stuff that was going to go on. And she goes, I really wish that, you know, I could continue this series of treatments that we've lined up to help me. Wow. So I got online because BNI has a group of business people, but we have this system called Connect. And I just got on Connect and looked for out in the Denver area where she was going to be with her brother, found some other therapists, contacted them. Hey, do you do this? Yeah, here's what the patient is. Sent her there. So while she was out in Colorado helping her brother and sister-in-law and the nieces and nephew, she continued with her treatments. She ended up referring lots of people to me, even though I really didn't do the work, but I got her that solution, what you were talking about. Right. You know, probably we sent him down the road. And in this case, it really was down the road. It was out in Colorado. But it was a great way of being able to, you know, use BNI to say, I don't know any massage therapist in the Denver area, but oh, look, I can go to BNI and say, hey, the chapter there has done the background to say these are legit people.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, speaking of that, I mean, that's where Mark, you know, that's how we met, was through BNI, which is you know, essentially BNI stands for Business Networking International. And basically, you know, to give everyone a little heads up of what BNI is, it's just a group of people that meet locally in the Dayton area. They are actually nationwide, actually internationally.
Correct, international.
I believe there is
70-some countries now and 280,000 members. It's just...
It's pretty wild. In the Dayton area, though, I think there's like, what, 35 groups? 30?
I forget what the current numbers are, but yeah.
So we'll say somewhere in the ballpark of 35 groups. And basically, you're industry-specific. So, you know, if you're a massage guy, get the spot. Like, rural partners. Basically, you know, people meet to meet in the morning, they or afternoon, or whatever their time is, and ask referrals. Check some balances.
It's a marvelous way to, you know, hear what the other guys are looking for in the room, gals, guys.
Yeah.
And, oh, look, one of my patients needs your assistance, and it's a great way to have.
Yep, and it's a great way for small businesses helping other small businesses.
Absolutely.
Which is what this is all about.
Absolutely.
So it's a great way to do that. I was in it, or I'm kind of in it still, but you should never really leave, like you said.
Yeah, because we're still, you know, we're still having the conversations. Right.
But my number one referral partner, which is funny, in the home furnishings, never was what I would have been. My number one was my financial advisor.
Wow.
And not only was he my number one referral, he was the guy that got me in BNI too.
Oh, really?
That was just a powerhouse of really understanding how it worked. Well, tell us, you know, we're finishing up here soon, but you know, I always like to ask, you know, your favorite story of a customer that you helped, or one that you think maybe kind of changed your life a little bit, that maybe took a piece of you. I don't know if there's one that's top of your head that, you know, that one person that,
sure,
you know what, I think I made a difference in their life, and it's really messed up.
Sure. There's a handful of them, but to try and pick the one, it was shortly after I'd started. I used to volunteer time with Hospice of Dayton, and just schedule's been too busy. If I could get the staffing back up, so that I don't have to work as many hours, I'll go back to volunteering there. Because again, it makes quite a difference. The hospice people have a staff of actual massage therapists, paid people on their staff. Their full-time staff members as massage therapists are only allowed to treat patients. As a volunteer, I can also work on the caregiver. So we've done a couple of times where I've worked on the caregiver, but this one actually was a patient. gal who was suffering from ALS. And if you're familiar with the disease, it's one of those question your faith kind of thing. Why in the world would the Lord give somebody this disease that slowly takes away? The mind's still there, but they can't move their feet. They can't move their arms. And it slowly gets down to, you know, they can't speak. And she was already at that final stage of all the lessons you learn in massage about asking open-ended questions about how's the pressure so you don't lead them one way or the other. They have to actually answer. I can only answer yes, ask yes or no once. So blink your eyes once for yes and twice for no was the routine that the staff at this nursing home used with her. So suddenly I have to ask specific questions. So worked on her a couple of times, but because she was not able to communicate, I would get there, and this is really not a fault of the staff there, but she'd just sitting in her chair, and because she can't move, she'd have the crease down the arm where it was sitting on that wheelchair arm. She'd have the, so I'd end up stopping in this, hey guys, you need to go in there. But I'm not faulting the staff because they're going where the buzzer is. Somebody needs a bedpan. Yeah. Well, she can't do the buzzer. So no squeaky wheel, no attention. Yeah. Anyhow,
that's even worse.
Being in a nursing home.
Yeah, because
you can't even hit the button. So, even if you hit the button, it takes like an hour. How do you solve it? With my dad, he had some reason. Yeah.
And so, I would remind him that, you know, you got to go in and check on her because she can't ask. And again, I wasn't faulting them because they're responding to the urgent requests all around the floor. But I would get there, we'd work on her. And after, I don't know, third or fourth session, just walking in the room, her eyes would pop open and just as glow. Now, she couldn't say anything, but obviously...
You could feel the energy.
That, you know, she was so happy that I was there, whether it was the actual massage, the spending an hour with her where the staff, you know, again, isn't able to because they're... Well, not isn't able to. We're distracted by the people who absolutely had to have it. So I would just melt my heart when those eyes would pop open and, oh man, I'm in the right field because I'm helping somebody who can't even tell me that other than, again, that the eyes would just pop open and she was just thrilled to see me. And again, it was the communication, the time with her, the obviously helping her feel better because we're getting those, you know, arms moving, legs moving and doing some just circulation stuff that doesn't happen.
Right.
So it was... It was a real, I'm not making as much money as I did as an engineer, but the reward is.
Yeah, you had an experience
that
you would have never had.
Yeah, yeah. When I showed up for work with the other job, because I'm running the plant in my last, working for somebody else, nobody was, ooh, look, Mark's here. Because, you know, he's probably going to complain we scrapped out a batch of parts yesterday or we, you know, again, we were always trying to improve processes. However, you know, it's not the same as I show up, somebody comes up, they know they're going to get a relief from that pain, that range of motion problem. It's a whole lot more rewarding.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Well, Mark, that wraps it up for us.
Super.
So tell us about how we can get a hold of you. How can people get involved? How can they... In the sun.
First request would be more staff because we keep turning away patients. It's a, you know, a good news kind of problem if you're going to have one.
Right.
But Medical Massage Dayton is the website.
Yeah.
And it's just been a great boon for us again with patients referring, with medical professionals referring. We don't need new patients. What we need is more help.
Right.
But, you know, again, it's out there for somebody who does have the need. That's why we're around. And we do help as much as we can adding new patients. But understand that it might be a delay between asking and getting it.
Yeah. Well, we appreciate it. Well, thank you for being part of the big community.
Super.
Thank you for being here today.
Look,
and I appreciate you coming out
here and
doing this recording. Yeah. Sure, truly do.
All right. Thanks for the opportunity, Frank.
You're welcome, Frank.
Thanks. Talk to you soon.
All right, bye.
Subscribe and follow to our Facebook, LinkedIn, and YouTube, or your favorite podcast platform. Be sure to sign up for our email list and receive an email to watch the show every Wednesday at 8 a.m. Do you know a great Dayton business that you would like to see on the show? Visit our website at daytonapproved.com and click on the contact tab and tell us who you'd like to see.